Wednesday night. It's American Idol night. Reed Kerr here. Lovely wife Kimberly with me, as always.
Howdy.
And howdy there. The Texans getting in on you.
Yes, I actually had someone comment on my Facebook this week asking me when I developed a southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
I was crushed.
We're getting you. You've been here for a couple
years. You're supposed
to
be the one with the southern accent, which you don't have.
But when I need to, I can kind of hit up when I have to. All right. Oh, by the way, Frailty was on the other night, and you were joking that it was, you know, maybe the only Matthew McConaughey movie he didn't take his shirt off in.
Yeah.
He took his shirt off in that.
Did he?
First scene, the scene where he's talking to Powers Booth and he remembers his brother calling him, uh-huh. He's shirtless on the couch.
Oh.
So his streak is intact.
Wow.
I was looking at script for today. I think it'd be a good day for me to take off my shirt. Yeah. Anyway.
Awesome movie for those of you that haven't seen it, Frailty.
Yeah.
Wasn't marketed very well.
That's one of those, like Frailty and Frequency and Mr. Brooks. One of those movies that was just, wasn't marketed worth a damn.
Mm-hmm. But they all turned out to be really good movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Frequency.
That movie, and this is not American Idol related, I know, but that movie, if you've never seen it, and you only saw the commercials when it came out, you probably don't want to see it. It was like this sort of Disney-esque father and son separated through the years, communicating with this shortwave radio, happy, touchy-feely bullcrap. It's a pretty good, mystery kind of movie.
Yeah, it was very suspenseful. Had to solve murder, serial killer.
Across three decades.
Yeah, it was, I thought it was an awesome premise for a movie.
When I was working television, it came on ABC one night, and so I'm just there putting my show together, and it's on, and it ran the full 3 hours, like 7 to 10, till we went on the air. It was a great movie, but when I saw the commercials, I would not have seen it in a billion years.
You know, Jesus was in that.
Yes. Please clarify for the folks at home. So
Jim Caviezel, right, that played Jesus in what was the name of that movie? The Passion of the Christ. Sorry. I was going to say The Last Temptation of Christ, but I knew that wasn't right. So.
Like that was before his time.
Yeah, The Passion of the Christ.
Wasn't he also in 28 Days Later? Did you see that?
I do not know that. No, I didn't.
You were not
see
a
it.
Big crazy zombie fan movie.
Not
okay.
Until recently. Plants versus Zombies.
Yeah, you're hooked on that. Okay, American Idol tonight.
Oh, yeah, American
yes,
Idol.
Yes, American Idol. We're down to 6, and earlier tonight, we did so much Donkey Taco podcasting with our buddy Michael Hetrick that we split it into 2 podcasts. We did like 30 minutes just on Glee.
That was lots of fun.
That was fun.
I like talking to Mike.
Hetrick's a very wise man. We used to call him the human wiki. He knows everything. I don't know really anything trivia-wise that he does. He is one of the few guys that if we were all just sitting around one night and decided to play Trivial Pursuit that I don't know I could beat. I might lose occasionally, but there are a few people that I really fear other than Hetrick and my buddy Brent. Other than that, I could probably go to
I didn't know there
you.
Was anyone that had more useless information in their head than you.
You were doing. You want to do a thing. We're expanding our podcasts, and you want to do a thing where we do TV theme songs for mm-hmm. people and have you try to name what they are, give you a snippet of them.
Well, I started thinking of like 80s music.
Okay. Hetrick is to game show theme songs and TV theme songs as I am to anything from the 80s. He's untouchable. It's incredible. I think everybody may know somebody like that, but even the people you know, they're not as good at that as Hetrick is. Hetrick is so good at game shows, the Game Show Network used to call him. That's all I'm saying. When they were doing their dial-in thing on the Game Show Network.
Cool.
He's that good. Anyway, he was on with us earlier. We talked a lot about Idol. We talked a lot about Glee. We talked a lot about how peeps are an awful food stuff.
We did talk about a few random things. Yep. iPads,
that sort of stuff. So you can find that up at DonkeyTaco.com or here on Facebook, wherever. The Idol, we've
Is
now
it
seen.
Is it on DonkeyTaco.com?
Shut up. We're trying to get there. I don't.
You just told him to go to DonkeyTaco.com. Is well, there a DonkeyTaco.com?
Yeah, actually, it points to another location on my own website.
Oh, okay.
Now, when you get there, it might be just just a big page with my ass on it because it's not finished, but I don't know. I'll put something up there, I promise. Tonight, 6 contestants. They're still milking us for an hour and a half mm-hmm. of TV real estate with 6 contestants.
So we got some awesome duets tonight.
Okay, before we start on the singles, all of the duets sucked to me.
I thought so, too. They have trouble harmonizing. That's right. Not really all that surprising.
And I think that goes back to the fact that most of the contestants are young.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you have to have that feel. You have to, you know, singing by yourself and sounding well is not that hard. Singing with someone else and fitting it together, that's tough sometimes. Mm-hmm. And Haley and Casey, I thought Casey was okay in that, but there was one part where he was just painfully flat.
Well, the parts he did on his own, other than that retarded growl that he does, that sounds like he's clearing his throat.
Yeah. But Scotty was flat also when he sang with Lauren.
Yeah. But, you know, they did a duet together before, like Lady Antebellum song, Scotty and Lauren, mm-hmm. since they're the country singers, they always put them together, just like Haley and Casey. I thought their duets that they did previous to tonight were much better than tonight's. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the deal was, but anyway.
All of the duets I thought were okay, nothing great. I don't think anybody really gained anything with their duets.
Right.
We're down to six, and tonight, because we've all requested it, it's Carol King night. Okay. What? She didn't even show up for this. She sent her daughter. Just go pick it up. It'll be an award of some sort.
Yeah, that was really... I was surprised to hear that it was going to be Carol King night. Not that I didn't know that she has tons and tons of songs to choose from. And hell, there's only six of them left.
Right.
But it's just not very contemporary.
Yes.
I mean, Motown Week's bad enough. But right. Motown is something that has kind of stuck around and... You know, not that
everybody
you never hear
Motown.
A Carol King song. You right. do, but I don't know. It just was
you're
kind
not,
of weird.
You're not necessarily aware that it's a Carol King song. Carol King is one of those people who is very important in music, great songwriter, but she's not still a household name. She's not still churning stuff out. She's most notable for Tapestry, which was like 40 years ago.
40 years?
I think it was 71.
Seriously?
It was early 70s.
Wow. Okay.
We'll check that later because, as everyone knows, I lie a lot on this show. But it's been a while. It is... Okay. Lauren's mom might not have been born when Carol... when she had that album.
Well, she probably wasn't. She looks like she's in her mid-30s. She got her hair cut.
She did get her hair cut.
I'm
Kudos
impressed.
To her. Yes.
Yes. She doesn't have that Jersey looking hair anymore.
The two-tone. It's like a rambler. Yeah.
I can't look at a hair like that now without thinking of a squirrel ever since you said that waitress that we had.
We had a waitress in a Mexican restaurant who was, what, blonde on top and brown underneath?
Yeah.
She looked like a Disney squirrel. Yeah. Not a good one either. Yeah, this is a hard week to choose. With Motown, you have a crap load of songs. Mm-hmm. So even if you're not particularly familiar with some of the Motown artists, everybody has heard Motown. And as they always say, everyone grew up on Motown, even the people who obviously didn't.
Well, did you notice that they managed to pick some fairly obscure songs of hers tonight?
I don't know.
The song that Casey sang, what did he sing?
Casey sang Heidi
all
Ho.
All I remember is Heidi Ho.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Well, I don't remember that song.
I don't remember it. I don't remember Blood, Sweat, and Tears covering it.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. Casey, I love Casey. And I said this on the earlier podcast. If there was one of the group that I would buy an album from right now, it would probably be Casey. Because... I like weird covers. I like
jazz.
Well,
you'd
jazz.
Have to play it in your car exactly. because I can't listen to that growling crap all the time.
But I'm well aware of the fact that most people don't like it. And I would only choose that because I don't know what else would be out there. Maybe James. I'd go back to my metalhead teenage years. But Casey keeps picking songs nobody knows. Come on.
I like him that he's different. I do, actually. But I think sometimes that he tries so hard to be different that it doesn't really serve him well.
You need the good kind of different.
Yeah. I mean, just like last week when he did the Maroon 5 song, mm-hmm. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Up-tempo, song we
exactly.
know, heard how he sung it.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's what got him voted out, to, you know, weeks
originally,
ago.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hanging in there. He hasn't been in the bottom three since then.
That's the only time he was bottom three.
So...
Yeah. Okay, let's start at the top of the show. Jacob performs. Jesus Christ, what is he wearing?
As soon as he walked out, you weren't even looking at the screen, and I was just, oh my God, what is he wearing?
He was dressed like a blind clown. And I said that once before, and blind clowns got upset with me. I mean nothing to the blind clown lobby, but just
there the were colors so were many comical. Things that yeah. just came to mind when I looked at him. First, I thought of Willard Scott.
Yeah.
You know how Willard Scott always wore those plaid jackets right. and bow tie and all that stuff?
If you're an NBA fan, Craig Sager would fit into this also. He's with the purple suits on the sidelines. Yeah. It's you stand out in a room of 1,000 people, that outfit will get you noticed.
And then, you know, I was kind of almost expecting water to shoot out of that bow tie of his. but then all of a sudden it hit me as he was singing. He reminded me of Urkel. And I at the end, yeah. whenever after they, you know, after he sang and they came back from commercial and they were, you know, and he was saying something about, well, you know, I gave them what they wanted or whatever. I even turned to you and I said, he looks like Urkel. I'm expecting him to say, did I do that?
Yeah, just sometimes they take a fashion risk, and that was
what
not...
What the hell was that? Seriously?
I don't know, and it wasn't like it was a choice that went along with his song. It was just, hey, I'm dressed like a clown.
He just looked like a dork.
Yeah, he looked like a guy trying a bit too hard.
For a gay man, he has no fashion sense. It's very disappointing.
And you're very disappointed, because normally, you know, as Lisa Lampanelli says, normally I love the gays. You know, normally you're you're a very pro-gay idol and Big Brother voter.
We've talked
that,
about
so,
that. Let's right. not beat you that just, into the ground. Everybody just, knows I like the gays. Thank is you, that Lisa. Offensive to say the gays, just like Donald Trump saying the blacks?
It is offensive when Trump says it. I think you can get away with it.
Okay.
Because you're not Donald Trump.
Exactly.
So,
I don't have his hair or his money.
Yes. Okay. The next one up, Jacob. I thought Jacob's performance was eh. Not as bad as he's been.
I didn't like it at all.
You rarely do.
No, well, okay, you're right. I rarely do like his songs, but I'm not really terribly familiar with that song. Oh no, not my baby.
Right.
Maybe because he butchered it, and I can't tell who originally sang it.
It sounds like every other song. It sounds like a gospel revival song for him.
But Jimmy actually said before he, you know, sang that. He felt like that he was the one that was in the most jeopardy this week. That he's a great singer, but...
Right. Jimmy's a straight shooter. Jimmy's going down. I really like having Jimmy on the show. Even though he's not on the show, he's just in the warm-up segments. Mm-hmm. I think he really has helped. And we've been very critical about the judges not giving any constructive criticism. Mm-hmm. And they've started doing that now. But
they have been a little bit better about it.
But Jimmy and whoever else is there, Will I Am or Babyface or Don Was, they seem to be really trying to help here, because you have young singers who have talent and have no direction whatsoever. And I think maybe it's kind of sinking into them that, oh, okay, the Joshua Tree, Bruce Springsteen, this guy's been on some albums that my father has. Maybe I should listen to him.
Why couldn't they have a Springsteen night?
Why don't they have a Springsteen
night? As long as they don't do anything off of that stupid album, Nebraska.
Don't make me pull out the guitar and play
Please
State Trooper.
Don't.
Mr. State Trooper.
Woo!
You know what? When I'm driving late at night on empty roads, State Trooper always goes through my mind.
That's scary.
It's one of the songs I always wish I'd written. Okay, Lauren was next. Stay off my Bruce Springsteen fetish.
I know. I was just getting ready to talk about Bruce Springsteen's Storytellers on VH1.
You hated that.
So looking forward to it. Because, okay, I like Springsteen back in the 80s, you know. Oh, my God. That was horrible. Horrible.
I never saw it. I love Bruce.
And
I've
you
seen
never will
things.
See it as long as I'm here.
Thank you, baby. You're so loving.
Well, you can watch it when I go back to Ohio. Maybe okay. It'll be on Hulu or Netflix.
I'll put it on the DVR with the last 7 Super Bowls that I haven't gotten rid of yet. So, anyway, we can do a whole thing on Springsteen at some point. That would be one of our good fist fight. You're always wanting to do. You love the Kevin Smith podcast with his wife because they yell at each other a lot. You want us to do some of that. Put Springsteen down. That's a good divisive topic.
I don't want us to yell at each other, but I think it's interesting when people don't necessarily agree with, you know.
I disagree completely.
If we're just like robots agreeing with everything the other one says.
How much do we agree with around the house? 30, 35% of stuff maybe?
I don't know. It seems like more than that.
At a girl, see? Okay, next. Next was Lauren. I remember really nothing about this. I remember she pulled a guy out of the crowd and sat him there and then walked off. That's not an effective use of a prop. You know, because he looked excited to be there, and then he sat down, and then she took her giant boots and stomped off behind the judges.
What is up with the boots? Why? I mean, I know she wants to be a country singer. Right. I get it, and I think she's talented. I think she's got a great voice. She's really cute. I don't understand the boots, you know? I mean, but living down here in Texas, it makes a little bit more sense.
Let me say this, and I'll just make a general statement on behalf of guys everywhere. Ladies, your boots look ridiculous. And it's been this way for a couple of years. I mean, we live in Texas. There are people, there are, you know, like 21-year-old girls walking around Barnes & Noble in the middle of the summer in mucklucks, in like, you know, giant fur boots.
You mean
boots.
Like Ugg boots?
Yes.
What the hell's a muckluck?
Well, I assume it's an Eskimo thing, wouldn't you? They look ridiculous. At one point, I had like 9 pictures on my iPhone of women with ridiculous boots.
Yeah,
I was do
and you see them
it.
In Walmart, of course. Right. But yeah, they'll be wearing shorts and Ugg boots generic Ugg boots, which is even worse. You know.
Yeah, I love those boots. Those as my buddy Matthew John Evans said, those boots are for people who want to buy boots once. You know,
I'm fine with Ugg
you.
Slippers. I have a pair that I still love, even mm-hmm. though they're kind of worn out.
But you don't wear them to Walmart.
But no, I don't wear them to Walmart. And in Texas, I just don't see that you would ever, ever have the need for those types of boots. And they're not cheap either.
And what is up with people just wearing their damn pajamas and slippers to Walmart? Every time I go in Walmart, I swear to myself, this is the last. And I keep
When's
having to go back there.
When's the last time you were at Walmart?
The other day when you dragged me in, really, and I was a bastard the whole time because I wanted to leave.
Oh, that's right.
We're in Walmart for like an hour
and
a half.
Oh, we were shopping for Easter for your daughter. That's right.
I already knew what we had. We had candy. That was fine. I was just going to give her a check. I didn't care. I just wanted to get out of Walmart. I was just, it's disgusting.
So you're saying
it's
if we would have gone to Target, you would have been much happier.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Write it down. There's another fist fight for us. Okay, Lauren.
Your pathological hatred of Walmart, even though it's cheaper.
Okay, you say even though it's cheaper, like that should absolve things. Okay, we're going into Walmart. I'm telling you, write this down. We're going into Walmart. There's a couple in front of us. It's like a 17-year-old girl and a 19-year-old guy with their 6-year-old kid. And they're both smoking, and they're just basically dragging the kid by his arm out of the driving area. And we go around the corner, and we're going slowly because I think there's another space that's going to open. And they think
you were driving slowly to begin with, and I wouldn't have even let those people get in front of me. But you were driving kind of slow, so they walked right in front of us.
Well, I was waiting on another thing to open, and it didn't. And so they're just stomping in front of us, and then they see that we're like waiting on them, so they start yelling at us.
Yeah,
okay.
Did.
And so then we get out of the car, and I'm like,
are those people bitching at us? Yeah. I mean, I didn't really.
Yeah, and of course you said that, and we are in your car, which at one point was a convertible, and they can hear you, and so then I'm like, okay, is this like 17-year-old kid with 6 priors going to come over and, you know, try to clobber me in a Walmart parking lot when I go inside? You know, and I buy my dollar screwdrivers or whatever's in here on sale this week. When I come back out, how much of my car is going to be here? Do you ever, ever feel that way when you go to Target? No. Because people in Target have manners. People in Target are more attractive than people at Walmart. Paying that extra, you know, 4-5% is definitely worth it to me to feel safer. I come out of Target, I feel like there's hope in the world. There are beautiful people out there. And, you know, I can buy stuff that doesn't break as soon as I get it home. I walk out of Walmart, and I feel like, well, damn, maybe a zombie invasion wouldn't be that bad. If they just started here and worked their way through the store, I'd be okay with that.
You know, I actually read something yesterday that reminded me of you, because it was about Target.
Yes.
And I was reading an article about social media and just branding in general. And this woman was writing about Target mm-hmm. and their branding, and she said that whenever she went to Target that she felt much more at peace.
Yes.
And that things were more attractive, and you know, and just everything in general, it was just the atmosphere of Target made her feel much better than going to Walmart.
You walk in Target And I know we're 21 minutes into this.
And we're not even talking about it.
We've discussed Jacob. You go into Target.
This is why we need another podcast.
Okay. Well, do you want me to cut this off and we'll do a podcast on this later? No. I'll just say this. You go into Target. You walk in. There's a cafe where you can get honest to God food. They don't throw, you know, Big Macs at you. You can get a sandwich. You can get chocolate milk.
They serve things other than soft pretzels there?
Yes. Popcorn. Fresh popcorn.
Popcorn and soft pretzels. That's the only thing I've ever got from Target.
Sandwiches, hot dogs, chicken sandwiches. They have soups in Target. Then you have the little aisle of the cheap stuff, the little turnaround there, which, you know, if that's...
Yes, you're always attracted to that area.
We have 1,000 office magnets. I have my office. That's what she said. Mouse pad still. Very proud of that. But... You go through all that, and then you walk out, and you know what you have in Target? Space. You can walk. You can walk side by side with someone. You go into a Walmart, especially if you go into a Walmart after, like, 11 o'clock at night. It's a goddamn maze.
They have to stock the shelves at some point. Okay, it's open 24 hours. You have to stock the
shelves. What you don't have to do is build a maze where I'm walking in, I'm looking for like bread and tampons, and I gotta worry that there's a Minotaur
what kind
somewhere
of sandwich
here.
Are you making?
It's late at night. Don't worry about it. I gotta worry that there's a Minotaur somewhere in there hiding in the middle of this maze. It's like I can see the mayonnaise right there. But there's 6 pallets in front of me, and I can't get through it. I got to go all the way to the back of the store, go to the loading dock, turn around, come back up the other way, and get it. Yeah, have you ever asked anybody for help in a Walmart after 11 o'clock? Hey, where's the Miracle Whip? Fuck you. That's what you get. They don't care. They don't care at all, and it shows. I have many examples we should put on a different podcast.
You're elitist.
Yes. In this situation, absolutely. Being elitist means you don't go to the lowest common denominator. If being an elitist means I don't have to worry about some 17-year-old with priors jacking me in a parking lot just because I wasn't driving correctly, yeah, elitist me. Put it on my driver's license.
You were driving a little slow.
I was waiting for a parking space. And
looked like you were stalking him.
Okay, and they're crazy.
Maybe
little...
thought you were checking out his girlfriend's butt.
No,
his common law wife.
His common law wife. I was like, hey, buddy, what'd that look like before the meth? Yeah. Well, okay, you're at Walmart, and they have these kids who don't take care of these. Well, they're kids. They're like 12-year-olds, and they're 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, and they don't take care of their kids. So this little kid, this little hyperactive ADHD kid who's just full of Mountain Dew and Rickets, he could just run right into the parking lot in front of the car at any moment. They don't care. They're too busy smoking and text messaging other hideous, hideous people.
I think you're stereotyping. I don't recall them smoking.
He was smoking. The guy was smoking because... He actually like lit the smoke and like put it in his, he put his
Did
lighter
he light
down.
The match on the kid's head?
No, but he put his lighter down and grabbed his kid's arm with enough force that I thought, wow, that just came out.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yes. American Idol. I apologize
Speaking
to the Walmart corporate. Speaking of skanks. Okay. Lauren in the Boots. Didn't
Lauren
like
in
it.
The Boots. Exactly.
Didn't like it. Anything else on Lauren? I don't even remember where we were.
Well, Miley showed up.
Oh, Miley. It's Miley.
It's Miley, just, y'all.
Yeah, why did Miley only show up for Lauren?
Because they talked shit about her. She did her song, and Jimmy had said, you know, you got a much stronger voice than Miley. And did you hear him say that, you know, that people had kind of given him a hard time about that? And she goes, well, you deserve it. I mean, yeah, she's fine. There, I didn't really see a lot of mentoring there, but it gave her a reason to be on TV, and I don't know.
Yeah, and that's...
And Lauren seemed excited about it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, she's in the final six, so she's got a fighting chance at staying and also at turning into something. You know, top six means we've seen you for a couple of months, at least. After Lauren and after Miley, who didn't make the actual show, by the way, she didn't... She just shows up for the rehearsal and then takes off.
Yeah.
Haley and Casey sang Feel the Earth Move.
Mm.
Casey, not a great harmonizer. Casey has got to get better at stalking the stage.
Stalking's right.
He runs like he's angry. He runs like someone. He runs like I'm going to say early 90s Axl Rose when somebody hits him with a bottle and he went running over to that side of the stage. I mean, is he going to give out a high five or a bitch slap? What's he going to do when he gets there?
Yeah, didn't you make the statement that he was like stalks the stage like an old man telling you to get off his lawn?
Yeah. This ball is mine now. Get out of here. Yeah. He doesn't seem natural with it.
No, he doesn't seem comfortable. And that, he seems comfortable singing, obviously, but he doesn't seem comfortable moving around on the stage.
And there were some really weird harmonies in that. At one point, I turned to you. I swear, I think they were harmonizing the theme from SWAT. I swear, it just came out at one point. I didn't think it was great.
They both try so hard to be these jazzy scatting.
Yes,
and scat.
You're just getting it, aren't you?
No. Yeah, that's not right.
They took "Feel the Earth Move," which is a song about a romantic experience, that moment when the earth moves.
I thought it was about an earthquake.
No. When they sang it, it seemed like it was some kind of an alarm because they didn't seem emotionally invested. They seemed like they were frightened and angry.
And they're supposed to be in love.
Yeah. Thanks to Steven Tyler for calling out Casey. You're in love with her, aren't you?
How much do you love Haley? I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. It's not easy to have your high school / college crushes around your friends, much less around the lead singer of Aerosmith, who's 62 and should know better. That's all I'm saying. Or is he 63 now? I think he's 63. He's too old to do some of the things he gets away with, though.
He's older than my parents.
Yes. And what was the song? One of the songs on the show, Steven said he made out with his first girlfriend.
Was it "Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow"?
I think it was. It was James. That's a while ago.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, after the duet, Scotty. Scotty comes up and does "You've Got a Friend." First time ever? No country?
And Jimmy gave him some really good advice and told him, you know, to kind of soften his voice and not to do it in his usual tone or whatever.
And he did. And I thought it was good.
I did too.
It was that moment we've been waiting for where he does something out of his comfort zone. And he still, you know, you could still tell it was Scotty, but it wasn't her ham, her hair. You know, it wasn't the totally country Scotty. Mm-hmm. I thought it was good.
I thought he did a good job.
The one thing that we did enjoy was the stage presentation. Scotty didn't move the whole time. He's sitting there, and you went, wait a minute. He's sitting on stairs to nowhere. Scotty was sitting on just three stairs that were in the middle of the stage that stopped where his butt did, basically.
It reminded me of the risers they put preschool kids on for performances. You know, I could just see my nephew standing on that.
Yeah. It reminded me of like the last scene in Ghostbusters. Yeah, where do those stairs go? They go up. Scotty, he's sitting there. Why? Well, because, you know, putting him in a rocking chair would have looked weird, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, Scotty and then James. And James did "Will You Love Me Tomorrow?" "You Still Love Me Tomorrow," rather. I thought it was fantastic.
I think he did an awesome job.
That open with just him, with no band, with just a cappella, nothing. That was a grabber. And James has a well-deserved reputation as being a screamer, as being a guy with a great high range that he likes to get into because he loves metal. That was a good way to start that off because it showed the tone of his voice. It was, I mean, I knew that he could sing. Throwing it all out there like that, it's a gutsy move. It really worked for him, I thought.
Yeah, and he seemed to come into that with, you know, already having it. Mm-hmm. An idea of what he wanted to do, and he was going to play guitar and, you know, all that. So I definitely no complaints about it. I thought he was great.
Yeah, he's like, he took a chance. And on Idol, you can't win it every week, but you can lose it every week. Denny Gokey, Dream On. That's my example. That's like the
Dream
one.
On.
That's the one example I have of a guy who took a chance and it burned him, and he never, you know, he stayed that week, and the next week he was gone. I mean, they were down to the round of three.
Did he stay that week?
I think that was the week that Allison got voted out, and the next week he bit it. But, you know, that's, you look at that, That was the only really bad performance he had all year. And it wasn't even really that bad. Just at the end, he tried to do something only Steven Tyler can do.
Adam Lambert could have done that, but why did Danny Gokey think he could do that?
I don't remember. But that's the chances you have to take. And
Steven
Tyler
can't even do that.
I wouldn't think he could anymore. I bet when he does it, there's like a they've got a, you know.
I'm going to start tweeting Danny Gokey and ask him if that's still part of it. Part of his, was that going to be part of his concert?
I didn't see anything from them on the Idol tour that year, but I bet, you know, like Adam Lambert still did that Mad World song and some of it.
And probably Tracks of My Tears.
I'll bet Gokey did not do Dream On.
If he did, he didn't do that ending.
Yeah.
That reminds me of Will and
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, on Glee.
Well, okay, there's two of them singing it, so one can go high and one can go low, and then they auto-tune the hell out of it, so, you know, I can't even tell who's supposed to be singing on Glee anymore. There's so much auto-tune on it.
Yeah.
But I still love the show, don't get
me
wrong.
All the chicks kind of sound alike.
And the guys are just the guys, you know.
Well, the only one that really stands out is Kurt.
Right, and Kurt sings like a chick, basically. Kurt's got a real high voice. They put him in those roles. More on Glee, by the way, our other Donkey Taco podcast with Michael Hetrick tonight. Lots of good stuff in that. Okay, after James, I thought James was fantastic. He's my best of the night. Lauren and Scotty sang Up on the Roof. Mm. Scotty was flat as a hammer at one point during it. I don't, like I said earlier, I didn't think any of the duets really helped anybody.
I thought Lauren sounded good. But, yeah, I mean, Scotty was basically kind of singing, you know, I don't know the technical terms for all that, but he was basically singing, not backup, but he was kind of harmonizing with her. Mm-hmm. She didn't seem to have to be worrying about, you know, she just sang like she normally did.
Right.
So she sounded good. I thought she did a good job.
Right. But Scotty at one point, he was,
yeah,
just like Casey, there was one point where he wasn't there. You could tell he doesn't sing with a lot of people.
Yeah, you know? Well, I'm sure that none of them do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one thing about being in a band. Even if it's a bad band, you have to learn to sing with other people.
You know, Paul's in a band.
Yes.
Can you really imagine him singing with other people?
I haven't heard what they sound like. I don't know. Our last memory of Paul is him just completely walking through So What last week. It was nice of Paul, again, to learn absolutely none of those lyrics for that.
I'm trying to think. You know what? That was one that I know that was a song from early in this season. I bet it was just a girl song, because when the girls and the guys were still kind of separated before they picked the final 13 or whatever, I think the girls all came out and sang So What. So he probably didn't know the damn words. He probably didn't know anything about that song. He probably just showed up that day, you know.
He probably wasn't even supposed to be in it. He just forgot to go
home. He'd probably
been
on his whirlwind tour of, you know, talk shows and stuff after he got sent home. So,
and all the big names are trying to sign him, you know. Jimmy's trying to sign him. Crest, AIM, Colgate, all of them.
Orbitz.
Yes. Okay, after the duet, Casey comes back out. We mentioned this earlier. Casey keeps doing songs that nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Heidi Ho is not a great song. I'm saying that your average American Idol voter does not know what it is.
If somebody's going to be seeing Heidi Ho, I want it to be Cab Calloway.
Rest in peace. He's dead, isn't he?
I think so.
He probably is. I don't even have to wiki this one. I'm fairly sure. Yeah.
Okay, and Casey, that hat he had on his head, which I realize why he, you know, I know why he was dressed like that, but the hat just, you know, of course it's supposed to be a smaller hat, but he just looked like Mr. Potato Head with a beard. I mean, the little tiny hat on top of his head. And
hat didn't fit. Casey is trying to do something. He's trying to be a character. I'm not saying the character's not him, but he's trying to come across as weirdo, avant-garde jazz guy. And it's not a bad thing to be, but when you're that young, I think he's, 22? He doesn't have it all together. And sometimes it just seems like he's doing weird stuff to do weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's like in the 80s movies. There were always the weird characters in the 80s movies, but we didn't realize until later they were carefully orchestrated weird characters.
You mean like Long Duck Dong from Pretty Pink?
Well, maybe not 16 that Candles. Weird. Maybe not that weird, but the, you know, the weirdo in every 80s movie. That's...
You mean Anthony Michael Hall?
Yes, and he was in every one of them, wasn't
he? The geek,
he?
Yeah.
Yes.
He grew up to be hot.
And in The Dark Knight, which is still astonishing to me.
He did.
Okay, that's
enough. I even watched, what the hell is the name of that show? The one that was on USA, Stephen King.
Oh, The Dead Zone.
Yeah, The Dead Zone. I watched that because he was in it.
Who played The Dead Zone in the movie? Wasn't that Walken?
Christopher Walken, yeah.
Love some Walken. I love the way Christopher Walken's career has gone to where every movie that he reads for, they have like the one Walken scene in it. No matter what he's doing, there's always one scene where he gets the insane monologue. I don't think he'll read a script without it. Casey, another fine example of stage stalking there. Casey likes to be around people. He likes to have a lot of people on stage with him. You know, the horn section following him around, and they all meet in a big huddle with him in the middle. He likes the presentation. But the song, nobody knows. This isn't a time to be stepping out like that.
I still feel like on a show like American Idol, people like to hear them sing songs that they know.